It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike Ward still convalescing, recovering, although I've talked to him a couple times this week. His knee is getting better, and he soon will be out with his bionic knee. Now, I don't know if he's going to be offshore fishing with the bionic knee or not, but he is not out fishing red snapper today, so Mike, get well soon, and maybe we'll find a nice calm day to get you out there before the end of the season, which we'll talk some about as snapper season started yesterday and rolls through with the three-day seasons with a few exceptions. You get the Independence Day week and also Labor Day, but it rolls through the Labor Day weekend. We'll get to that coming up. Also get an offshore fishing report. But if you're staying back here on this side of the sand, in other words, the north side of the sand, let's find out what's happening with the bass bite and check in with Captain Wayne Miller. And we got a lot of water coming our way, Captain Wayne.
Yeah, we sure do, Sean. It's, not unusual to, for this time of year, but, you hate to see it after all the rivers had gotten down and really cleaned up, and gotten in pretty good shape. But, the good news is, even as high as we're seeing, and I mean, there's some significant rises on both the Tom Bigby and the Alabama. The forecast as it stands right now, that Mobile, the berry reading, is going to stay below 7 feet. And that's kind of always my target number, because as long as it does that, the lakes in the middle delta and the lower delta stay in good shape. In other words, the water doesn't blow through the head of these lakes. And then we've talked about that, a lot in the past. But, it's not a scenario you want to see unfold this time of year.
It's one, though, yes, it's not unheard of. I agree with you there. But quite often when the leaves get on the trees and we get the warmer weather, we can get a pretty good rain, and it doesn't come. But it must have just been a massive rain to the north for it to come up. And looks like they're saying it's going to hold for a little bit at those heights.
Yeah, it really is. And, the Alabama is just, they obviously got some really significant rain up in the middle part of the state, because it was, if you look at that Claiborne reading, it is just, just an incredible rise on it up into the mid and upper 30s on that reading at Claiborne.
Wow.
So, that's phenomenal amount of water, and it's all coming downhill, buddy.
Yeah, it's gonna put a water in the woods to the north. But you're saying right there, yeah, I saw like a 6.4 or 6.6 at the berry reading, which, like you're saying, keeps it from breaking through the north end of those lakes. And people who just check in with us once in a while on the show and may not do a lot of bass fishing in the delta will say, why do Wayne and Sean, they fools talk about river readings more than they're talking about catching bass. It is part of the game here.
Yeah, it really is. And, it gives you a great indicator of the areas to not only go fish, but the areas to avoid. At times, that's even more important.
Right.
Right now, with the scenario we've got unfolding with this water level, I wouldn't want to go to Mount Vernon and launch and go up on the lower end of the Alabama.
Right.
You can stay down at Live Oak, launch like it over at Dead Lake, stay in the lakes in the middle delta. And, the bite's been pretty good here. Been a lot of fish being caught on top water, on buzz baits and frogs. We've got really a lot of significant grass up in a lot of the bigger creeks, and even down along the causeway, some of the bays and some of the clear water creeks off the main rivers. The water's really clear and got good grass in them. And there again, that's other places you can target with, top water, not only early in the morning, but where you've got matted grass, you can catch those fish on, a frog, all day long.
Can we talk more about my favorite thing? I mean, you've said frogs three times. I'm about to come out my skin here. Love to throw those frogs. Love that fishing. Walk us through, you know, number one, how you rig, what kind of frogs you're throwing, how you're rigging, anything you could do that somebody could, I mean, you walk in now, Captain Wayne, you walk into the store, and instead of it being like, it's either this frog or that frog, heck, it's like, it's this row of frogs, that row of frogs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a kind of overload for people. So how do you pick a frog?
Used to, you'd go in the tackle store and you'd see a scum frog.
Right.
And that was about it.
Yeah.
Now, virtually every major manufacturer is making a really a vast array of different frogs, and they've gotten to be really specialized frogs. I mean, you've got the regular frogs that you just kind of throw out there and ease along kind of a static, presentation. But then you've got some that are made to walk the dog. You've got some that have a cup, mouth on them so that they're poppers. So it's, it's a tremendous array of not only types of frogs, but also colors. It's just almost endless.
All right. Well, have to help us. You do this every day. You spend more days on the water bass fishing than anybody I know. So you walk in there and you're with us. We're going to be lucky enough to have you go with us. Which ones are you going to point out first? What are we going to go to?
You know, I keep it really simple, Sean. When it comes to the frogs, I throw a lot of the Spro frogs, and it's called a bronze eye. They make a couple of sizes. I always like the big one because when I'm throwing a frog, I'm not trying to catch a pound and a quarter fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to catch big fish. But from a color standpoint, I go with a natural, a green color, and then I also throw a white because, a lot of times, even though you're mimicking a frog up on top of this grass or on the edge of the grass, you have to remember, a lot of our water is so stained, I'm not really sure the fish are really keying in on that color. But I like the natural green, I like a white, and then they make kind of a natural red color that seems to work really well here on the Delta. So those three colors is kind of, and you'll talk to people that love to throw a black.
Mm-hmm.
I personally just don't throw one.
Doesn't mean it doesn't work, but right. You got to have something you have confidence in, and that's why you're with us in the store. So now we've picked out the colors and kind of the size we're using. So let's talk about what we're tying it to. When you go for the rod you're going to use to throw that frog, what are you using?
Yeah, typically I'll use anywhere from a 6'9" to a 7.5" medium heavy. You want something with a little tip on it so that you can make long cast with it. And there are a lot of times that you want to have the ability to kind of skip that frog up underneath limbs and stuff. But, there's really not a bad place to throw a frog. I mean, people always assume, well, I got a frog on, I got to go find some grass. And some of the best frog fishing every year is around wood cover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bait that's really versatile. And, there's any of the creeks, and even out on the main rivers, I love to find stretches on the main rivers that have matted vegetation because typically they're not going to be expansive, mats of vegetation. They're going to be, 2 or 3 foot off the bank.
Yeah, and you also, walk us through this. I mean, you could throw it up and working it through that grass and those openings in that grass. But, my little bit of fishing frogs, when you've made some ruckus coming out and you make that last hop off the end of the grass into the clean water, often bad things happen to the frog.
Yeah, it's some really exciting strikes you get on it. A couple of things that really help your hookup ratio on when you're frog fishing.
Hold on, let me get my notepad out because this is something I need work on because my hook ratio is not good on frogs, so I'm getting ready to take some notes.
You need braided line.
Okay.
Because a lot of times they'll hit it and you actually have to pull them out of that vegetation, and the braid really helps there. But probably the first and foremost thing you can do to greatly improve your hookup is to give them about a 2 or 3 count after they blow on the frog. too many people. You know, my brother is the world's worst. He keeps telling me, he said, man, I prove every time I go out there fishing that frog that I'm faster than the bass. You know, he can take it away from them because typically you're using braided line, which has zero stretch. So as soon as that fish hits, if you immediately set the hook, you know, you got to remember a lot of times this fish is trying to come up through that grass and, you know, get that frog. So, you know, if he's made that commitment, the best thing you can do is let him have his way.
And that's easier said than done, though, right? Oh, I mean, I'm like your brother, and I'm throwing a 7-foot rod. I'm throwing braid on it, and you can, with that braid, you can feel sometimes you can feel some tension, whether it be grass or that the bass may have it, but not really have it. So you think he's got it and he's turned, right? But it's but I'm doing that way too fast. So you're saying like a 1 count or a 2 count?
Yeah, and you know the reason for that is most of these frogs are obviously rubber. They have silicone legs, you know, and they're extremely soft. You know, so it's not like a crankbait or something that fish is going to bite down on and immediately realize, hey, this isn't real. You know, so, you know, typically when they commit on that frog, I mean, they will really, you know, if you just give them the opportunity, they'll really engulf it, and by waiting, which I know it's hard to do, but you know you just have to discipline yourself, and it's amazing. I mean, you can take your hookup ratio from 20-30% up to 80-90% just by that one simple action.
And it does take some training. I'm here to say, because I love fishing those frogs. I'm fishing exactly what you're talking about. I have some other frogs, but I've really gotten into fishing those Spro frogs, and it's like catching speckled trout on topwater. It's just addictive. But I do maybe curse a little bit because my hookup ratio has not been the best.
Yeah, well, it's you know, it's really a fantastic, you know, technique to use this time of year, not only here on the Delta, but all over the Southeast. And you know, just the popularity of frogs. I mean, there's and like you say, when you go in the tackle store, there's an abundance, and you know, you can really, you know, there's a tremendous variety to try, and you know, I'd encourage people, you know, not just to use those colors that we mentioned, but you know, if there's something you have confidence in, get it and throw it, because a lot of times that greatly enhances your success ratio too.
These are great tips, and the even better tip, y'all, would be to get a trip book with Captain Wayne and go fish those frogs right alongside of him and learn it from muscle memory. So if somebody wants to do that or throw a myriad of baits and catch a lot of fish, how do they do that?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right, and we'll be talking as the waters start to recede. They'll go up, like you said, but they're going to come back down at some point. Captain Wayne Miller checking in, and we're rolling on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Coming up, we'll take you from throwing frogs up in the Delta to dragging baits out in the blue water. Blake Michaleski from Mobile Big Game Fishing Club with the Offshore Fishing Report, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics. That's next. All right, time for the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin. You'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. In the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013, Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or Facebook. Look for HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin ultra high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images. Side view and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. All right, time to get that report. And Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club joining us for the report going into this weekend. I'd say, at least condition wise, it doesn't look perfect for this weekend, but it's better than last weekend.
That's right, Sean. Unfortunately, we did have to cancel our Memorial Day tournament.
That was a doozy, having a subtropical storm rolling in for I'm telling you, the first weekend of big fishing,
and it went a little slower than forecast, a little further east, and I'd heard that over in Venice, it was actually a pretty nice weekend.
Right.
So this weekend there is a tournament in Venice, and those guys are headed over there now. So
and it's supposed to be 3 to 5 over there.
Yeah, and for a lot of those boats, that's still doable.
Right.
But they're in the big money chase. But a few people were able to get out, and I got some reports from Venice, and they. You know, those who were able to get out, just some fun trips. Some tunas were caught, of course, some snapper. And
You posted up a video, and I don't know when it was from, but on the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, I think on your Facebook page I saw it. And what a run there with, I saw dolphin, I saw wahoo, and I saw tuna.
Yeah, it's on fire right now. I mean, if you get out there, and as long as the, you know, I don't like to fish necessarily right on the full moon, and we're coming into that tonight. But either side, it's usually good, and it's that time of year. The fish are out there; they're biting. We've had a lot of dolphin around, and
that's,
yes, last
that's
year
cyclical,
we didn't see me.
Right, that's cyclical. It's not every year that we have good numbers.
Come and go. So if you can get out there,
are these bulls or are these just chickens?
There's been some really nice bull dolphin caught. I mean, even upwards of 35, 40 pounds.
It's big.
So there's been a couple of real monsters caught. But a lot of chicken dolphin around, and what some of us affectionately call turkey dolphin, because they're bigger than a chicken.
Okay, yeah. So that, and you know, that it's a weird thing though. There's that in between size, because the chicken dolphin. I'm thinking about the facts of snapper season here. For beginning of snapper season, quite often on the right years when the grass is close to the beach, and I say close to the beach, you know, 10 to 20 miles,
right.
And you get patches, you can get out there and really get after the chicken dolphin, and then you can go when I'm lucky enough to hop on with somebody and go true blue water fishing. Have a chance and we'll see some bigger dolphin, but that in between, it's like I go from a 2 or 3 pound, and I guess I've never weighed them, but a chicken dolphin, I guess, is
a pound and a half, 2 pounds,
little ones like
right.
that, and then you start catching ones that are like 12
right.
and 14 further out. Where's the 7 pounders? Is that the turkey dolphin you're talking about?
That's kind of in there. They're not quite gaffer dolphins.
They're right.
All kind of names we put on.
But they're
for their
but
size.
They're bigger than chickens. But they're not exactly. They're not going to be burning drag off a big reel.
That's right. But they eat great.
Yeah,
they're
do.
Not, you know, and they're abundant right now. And so of course the simple tactics of going out. If you've got a upper 20-foot, lower 30-foot center console with twins, even on nice days a single engine outboard. You can go out and pull two lines. If you don't have outriggers, that's fine. You can pull two lines.
Yeah, walk me through that, because, we'll see them, and we'll come up and cast, and sometimes we pull baits around those grass mats. But you do this a lot. So what would you be pulling out there this time of year targeting dolphin?
It's really hard to be a ballyhoo, Sean. A dead ballyhoo rigged on a pin rig
right.
with, a 6 or 7-aught hook. Nothing real big, nothing real heavy wire. And that opens you up to some other bites as well.
Right.
But, of course, that's when a big blue is going to come smash it.
Right. Your lightest rod. Always your
right,
lightest rod.
Right. But, in a variety of things, you can pull them naked, which nothing from, or, say, a duster or any kind of little small chugger head to give it some action. But, really, dolphin will also eat a variety of all plastic baits. So, any kind of trolling lure, something makes little bubbles, and I like pink and white, blue and white are always some good go-tos, Islander lures, the well-knowns. But, don't go heavy on your leader, 130 pounds, more than enough.
Right.
100 pounds typical. And so, but always have I like to have two spinning rods, one with, say, just a circle hook, and, so you can throw either a live bait on or a dead bait, or even just a chunk of bait.
Right.
And then have another one with, say, like some kind of lipped, crankbait, like a minnow, like a Rapala minnow, something like that. And that gives you a variety of options. So you want to be ready, because if you come across that, you may even want to have more than two. Because you come across, say, a pallet
yes.
is like the gold mine out there, and there's going to be who knows what on it. So you can sit there and basically, I'm not going to advocate picking it clean, but
you could. Well, and it's fun for big kids and little kids. But I think about having, when my children are on board and I have my nieces and nephews, technique, if you get the first, and this is more with chickens than I've had, but you get the first one on, put the rod in the rod holder, keep that fish on, keep the school there, and let the other kids get hooked up, and then I'll go pull one in, and then, we just kind of work
Absolutely.
It that way.
It works great, especially with the smaller dolphin. They tend to, they don't want to separate from each other, because, a pound and a half, 2 pound chicken dolphin is a snack for another fish
right,
out there.
Right.
So, especially on a grass line where you have blue marlin or white marlin, even bigger wahoo cruising up and down it. Big fish eat little fish, and out there it doesn't matter what you are. If you're a little fish, you're on the plate.
Yeah, your grocery. I mean, it's good to hear that this has been a good year for dolphin, because you know it is. It's cyclical, at least in my experience. There's some years that, like, heck, you can't find one, and then other years you're like, yeah, man, I saw them. You know, half the trips I've been out.
That's great, because it can be an accessible fishery for the smaller boat guy. You know, you don't need a 70-plus foot sport fishery.
Right.
We're not running to Greens Canyon. We're going 10, 15 miles offshore, and even on a good day, I've seen some boats out there that I'm not sure I would have taken out that far.
Right.
You know, some 20-foot, you know, bay boats.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a satisfying way to get into a little bit of what the blue water game is while you're still, you know, some of
exactly.
us that are still going to be within 20 miles
and
of shore.
And you can still get that surprise triple tail.
That's right.
I know you get excited about those.
Yeah, I do. I do like, do like
they
those.
They'll hang out together on this floating structure.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that, though. What makes some floating structure better than others? You talk about a pallet or whatever. You know, you come upon out there a lot of different floating debris. And some of it just doesn't have the first fish on it. And it could look good. It could have been out there. It could have some moss on it. It could have some little bait fish, just nothing on it. Then you find something that's fairly identical in size or whatever, 5 miles away or something like that. And it's got like a whole aquarium of fish on it. You know,
right.
It's like, what happened here?
I think some of it does have to do with how long it's been out there. And you start at the bottom and you grow that whole little ecosystem right there from the ground up, so to speak, where you start off with little fish and plankton, it goes bigger and bigger. But that one you come across that looks good, it may have been picked clean.
That's
it
right.
Very well could have been. Or a big predator fish could have run everything off. You know, could have come in.
They could have picked it clean.
They could have picked it clean. They'll stay with it all day. You'll see this in Costa Rica where let's say a better example is Isla Mujeres, Florida, or Mexico, sorry, where the sailfish go down, they'll cleave off a ball of sardines from a bigger shoal down deep. They push it to the surface, and they stay with it all day till it's gone. And they do it every day.
That's like a lunchbox they take with them?
Yeah, basically. They pack their lunch in the morning, drive it to the surface, and then they just stick with it all day.
This is we mentioned dolphin dead. That's kind of what we're talking about this week. But you did have some decent tuna catches going on in Venice over the last weekend.
Yeah, there were some. The guys were able to get out. Some in the 130 class. And the 150s and up are definitely out there. And, of course, the swordfish thing's still going on. And there have been some
and daytime fishing, y'all, for swordfish. That's the story.
Right,
daytime.
That's kind of been the hot thing lately, because it's gotten like bottom fishing, where once you really find your spots, they tend to like those areas and they'll keep coming there. You know,
you can go back to that depth or that area and get on.
Sometimes the exact spot, but good electronics. You can even in 1,800 feet of water, you can see him down there.
That's go see Macklin, because he's got those.
He can definitely set you up
for sure. All right, and a lot of people are going to be looking at a lot of screens on a lot of electronics this weekend. Of course, with the snapper season starting up here, I have all the reason to believe that this will be pretty decent. Although we are looking at least right now, looking at a pretty 3 foot seas or so. It's not going to be slick calm.
Right, just you know. Be smart about it. Don't go out in something that you shouldn't be in. And I like that now we have a longer season.
Put yourself in harm's way.
Right. Be safe about it. You know, when things go bad out there, it can go real bad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Be safe, especially if you're taking your family, your kids. You know, obviously life jackets on the kids and everything. Let's keep them safe. But the snapper are out there, and, you know, we got a long season now. So no
That's
reason
right.
for the derby anymore of 20-foot boats in 6-foot seas.
That's right. So by next week, we'll be recounting some good snapper season stories along with the blue water fishing. Let's talk about Mobile Big Game Fishing Club. Obviously, I said last week, tournament canceled. What do we have up next on the calendar?
Coming up next, we have the Junior Anglers Tournament.
Okay.
And that's a great one. And it's the weekend after the 4th. The 6th and 7th that weekend, and it's got some inshore categories, so you're going to have even pinfish and croaker, so you don't need a boat. You can take the kids down to the seawall at Perdido Pass, and you didn't hear it from me, but there's some Mongo pinfish down there.
Some trophies.
Trophies, absolute trophies. A lot of people don't know, but they eat pretty good.
I have never eaten a pinfish.
The big ones really do. You'd be surprised.
Okay, I got to do that this summer.
So
we're going to go catch big pinfish and flay them.
But hopefully, and then by the next week, we'll be able to make an announcement on what we're doing with the Memorial Day tournament. We're working to make
so you
that
will
up.
It will be a make. Do you think it will be a makeup?
There, it's in discussions now.
Okay,
and we'll know something next week.
All
it's
right.
kind of a hard thing. You don't want to step on other tournaments,
sure.
or you know, or this or that, and people have their summer planned out pretty well. So trying to find something that works for as many people as possible.
All right. I'm sure get information on the website.
Absolutely. And then we'll put that out on our Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/the MBGFC, or our website is mbgfc.org.
All right, Blake, thank you for your time. And let's go. So on the menu, turkey dolphin. And some pinfish.
And pinfish.
We've got a big plan set up for us for this summer. It is the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology. By major brands like Garmin, you'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. In the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013, Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics. Featuring Garmin ultra high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images, side view, and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this Saturday. Remember, the podcast of the show goes up about 8:30 this morning, and also you can hear the replay 11 o'clock tonight and 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And Mike Ward still convalescing. Hopefully we'll have him back very, very soon. And big thank you to Captain Wade Miller for joining us. Also, Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club. We'll run through a couple things, too. We mentioned river stages when talking to Captain Wayne. And looking at some of those river stages right now, Barry Steam Plant at going to 7 feet off the charts, and 44 at Claiborne, 17 at Leroy. So the story there for inshore fishermen is going to be the fact that that causeway bite, except for the deep holes, places like the Mobile River in the Tensaw and Spanish River, some of those deeper holes still holding salt. But other than that, it's going to be a flush effect. Now, I don't think it's going to be what it was last summer when we were steadily catching fish on the Gulf beaches. You know, and that, this time of year, you usually get a pretty decent croaker bite anywhere on the Gulf beaches, but it held on the whole way through the summer last year, that fish in the troughs on the front beaches, fishing croakers for speckled trout. Not only was it a May-June thing, it was a July and August thing. That's to be seen as we have a flush of fresh water coming down now. Does that dominate the rest of the summer? We'll keep our eyes on it. Also, of course, snapper season has opened up. And if you heard the show last week, and if you didn't, you can go back in the podcast and listen to last week's show when Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, was on with us. And Scott running through the app change. Now, both apps, as I understand it right now, are still good to go. So if you're snapper fishing yesterday and you were using the old Pocket Ranger edition of the Outdoor Alabama app for the snapper check, that's fine. But in addition, the new one that's out, they want us to move over to, if you'll go to, I went on the Google Play Store because I'm an Android user, but same thing would be true for iTunes, and got the just Outdoor Alabama app. And the logo is like a navy blue with OA in white. Okay, so that is the new app. Inside that, you have game check, rules and regulations, season and bag limits, wildlife management areas, but you also have snapper check in there. And the difference with this app versus the old one, the one we've been using for the last few years, that snapper check button was actually just a connection to the website for Outdoor Alabama. So if you were in a situation that you don't have cell signal, of course, you weren't able to put your snapper in. You weren't, so many of us, speaking of myself, about time I hit the lighthouse is when I started getting, not hit the lighthouse, but past the lighthouse. That's when I get cellular data, and that's when I'd start filling in our snapper check numbers for a given trip. Of course, that's probably the bounciest time of your trip whenever, so you have to have somebody drive the boat while you try to put the numbers in. The new app is just like game check is. You can put the information in, so you can finish up, you can be wherever. I mean, be 40 miles offshore snapper fishing, finish your trip, put your numbers in, the number of fish caught, released, you know, the number of anglers, the hull identifier number, put all that in, hit save, you're done. When the phone gets connection again, it'll send it. So that's one of the little differences in the way the new app works and the way the old one does. But you can, I think right now, the way I understand it, both apps are fine. You can go through the old Pocket Ranger edition, but download and get ready for using the new just straight up Outdoor Alabama app available on your iTunes, in your iTunes store or on Google Play. All right, some other odds and ends here in the mix too. We're starting off, Yeah, here we are in June, and it's time for getting registered for gator season. The fifth starts registration for the lottery for this year for the alligator tags. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on June 5th, ends at 8 o'clock in the morning on July 11th. Now, selections for each zone are going to be held at noon on the second Wednesday in July. That's when they do the big drawing. Now, I don't know if the folks at Game and Fish have like a, you know, when they do the lotto and they have the big, then pull out the next number. But that's when they do the drawing each year on that Wednesday proceeding. So selection results will be posted immediately thereafter. Applicants can check your registration and selection status on the same website you register, OutdoorAlabama.com. Once again, you start registering on the 5th. They do the drawing on the 5th of June. They do the drawing on the 11th of July. Selected applicants' acceptance is required then by the 3rd Wednesday of July. So you get the information. You've been selected. You have to say, yes, I will take the selection. You also need your conservation ID and date of birth to gain access to your registration and selected status. So that is that's on. It's coming up next week, and you have basically a month then to get registered and hopefully get your name drawn, which is becoming tougher and tougher as this lottery is more and more popular, more names in there. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. But it's not been good for the last, for me, I've been unlucky like 6-7 years in a row now. All right. Also, the information come from the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, Marine Resources Division. They said a temporary opening of the Fort Morgan boat ramp, the Western double lane launch ramp, and accompanying Western and Center Finger Piers will be available for public use on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays only. Now, this is obviously the days you can fish snapper, so they're making sure they're open. So Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, they have it open, and this is until construction activities are completed. That means all the other days of the week closed. The launch remains closed Monday through Thursday until further notice. This is at Fort Morgan. Construction activities, including dredging of the basin, are expected to be completed on or before the 30th of this month. Mobile Marine Resources Department requests that individuals be aware that the launch ramp is an active construction site and to stay clear of closed areas and all construction equipment for personal safety. So that's going on at Fort Morgan. Although if you know you're somebody who's been launching on the causeway as of late, you're probably used to having to work around construction equipment to get your boat launched, right? All right, coming back with more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, but just a reminder, that Outdoor Alabama app, if you got some time today, you may want to download the new app and mess with it, see if it's you know, works on your phone, which it will. I mean, Android or iPhones, they both work, but get it registered because I think probably by the end of the summer we'll be going to that full time. And by the way, too, have a good day yesterday. You banged some snapper yesterday. Send those pictures into our Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook. Like for you to check that out. Plus, great stories to check out on our Facebook page as well. Coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you in part by Buffalo Rock and Mountain Dew and Diet Mountain Dew. Do the dew. Maybe grab some of those, throw them in the cooler for the snapper trip. Keep yourself aware as you're pulling in snapper, which, by the way, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the first 3 days of snapper season, and then picks back up next weekend. Actually, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sundays, the whole way through Labor Day Monday, unless we would reach the quota beforehand, with the exception of Memorial Day. With Independence Day week, 4th of July, I think the 4th is on a Wednesday this year, we have the entire week. So we have the Friday, Saturday, Sunday going into Independence Day week, the entire week, and of course the Friday, Saturday, Sunday coming out of it as well. So that'll be a big run there in the middle of the summer. And if we are still fishing at Labor Day, we get Labor Day Monday as well. Hope you had a good trip yesterday or you're getting ready to head out today or tomorrow. And we'll talk more on next week's show about kind of what you're seeing out there. Is it more derby-like? In other words, are you seeing the number? And that probably will. Probably will be the reports that more people were out this weekend. But then by next weekend to the next weekend to the next weekend, does it get a little more normal? You know, when you have more than 3 or 6 or 9 or 10 days of fish, do you kind of just let it work with your normal schedule? You know, that's one of the good things about spreading these days out is, at least for me personally, don't feel as like I got to go even if the weather's not right, something like that. All right, a couple other items here. I want to tell you a fish story. Well, of course, but I mean, this fish story, I like it. I saw it out of Virginia Beach, Virginia, a catfishing story. And this story is about a guy named Jeffrey Dill at Lake Smith, all right? And he may possibly be setting the new Virginia record for the biggest flathead catfish. This guy, Jeffrey Dill, said he was fishing with a buddy at Lake Smith, somewhere up in Virginia, on Saturday when he felt something tugging at the end of his line, and he had what he said was a $20 rod and reel combo from Walmart. Okay, so he's got probably a push button, a fairly lightweight rig. He catches this fish in 15 minutes. And look at the little push button rig he's got. He catches this catfish 15 minutes. Now, think about some of the rods set up for straight up catfish and almost look like, looks like a snapper rod. Some of them you see out there. But this guy, Dill, is fishing with a little push button rig. He immediately took the catfish that he caught there to Ocean's East Bait and Tackle in Northampton. And there they said there was a biologist from the Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries inspected the catfish and weighed the flathead. Big Earl, as they've named the fish, 68 pounds, actually 68.12 pounds of flathead catfish. The fisheries biologist, Chad Boyce, said it was a monster. It was a true river monster. It was a big fish that you don't expect to see in this part of the state, especially in Lake Smith. It's definitely a trophy. The current record in Virginia for flathead is 66.4 pounds, okay? And that was caught by fishermen in northern Virginia. Now, they said that they're going to do the otolith on the – you know what I'm talking about when they do the otolith? They pull the ear bone there, and just like you can look for rings on a tree, you can figure out how old a fish is. Often they do them here with snapper, right? We've turned snapper in before, and they can take the ear part out and tell you what the age of that fish is. Well, that's what they are doing there in Virginia. That information is not out yet, but we'll update this story when we get it to see how old that flathead was. But it looks like this guy who was fishing with his cheap rig, he said, he just picked up a cheap rig there at Walmart, catches the state record. Now, I'm impressed. I am impressed when you have somebody catching a 68-pound catfish on a rod that size. When you think about how hard a catfish can pull, but maybe they all don't pull as hard. I'm amazed. 68-pound fish. Think about if you took your Zebco 33, which we own some of in the Sullivan House. They're still great, not just back in the day. My kids use them now. But I don't know if I'd tackle a 68-pound anything with that kind of rig. All right. Hey, reminder, if you've got pictures of a big catfish, big snapper, whatever, you want to share those pictures with us, we'd love to see them on our Facebook page for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So just facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And you can go check it out there and drop us a picture. Something on the email here, question about our catfish record for the state of Alabama. Our flathead catfish in Alabama is 80 pounds. So the 68.12 pounds now, looks like for Virginia, 80 pounds even, caught by Rick Connor and Selma. That flathead, 80 pounds, caught in 1986 on the Alabama River. Our blue cat record, 120 pounds. Caught on Holt Reservoir. That's right near Tuscaloosa. That was John Paul Nichols out of Northport. And our channel cat record, 40 pounds from Inland Lake in 1967 by Donald Cox at Oneata. And the white catfish, well, I don't know, white catfish. I need to go Google a picture of a white catfish. White catfish record, 10 pounds, 5 ounces out of Chambers County Public Lake, caught by Roy Britton in 1981. So there's our catfish record. So, yeah, way bigger than Virginia's, but, still, I don't know if any of those were caught on a Zebco 33. And, one last note here on inshore fishing. I don't know if you caught Captain Bobby's report on Thursday. You can go listen to it on our podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. I wish it was good news, but he said the water had been muddied up from the wind, the southwest winds that had come after the passage of Alberto way to our east. He said it had things so muddied up he could catch fish shallow, but really didn't catch them many other places, which is tough, of course, because those last few days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, were all leading into the full moon here in our area, some of the best days to catch speckled trout of the entire year here on the Gulf Coast. That May full moon, usually the April full moon is pretty good leading in. May full moon is great leading in. June full moon is pretty good leading in. But the May is probably the top of the mountain there, and we had muddied up water. So he said he caught some fish, but wasn't great. Of course, the issue we're dealing with now, we're post-full moon. It's not the best time to be out chasing speckled trout, so it's fine. You can go chase a snapper right now, right? And get out and enjoy it. All right, Mike Ward hopefully will be back with us next week. He is on the mend. We'll let him tell you his war stories on his knee when he gets back in here. But I'll say this, he's going to be bionic going forward. A bionic Mike Ward going forward as we get ready for the rest of the fishing season and on into hunting season. And Mike and I were talking the other day on the phone about what we're planning for doing habitat improvements on our properties. We'll get into that kind of discussion and look forward to hunting season 2018 coming up very, very soon. All right, got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. Y'all have a great one.